Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stack Overflow podcast, a place to talk all things software and technology. I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog and host the podcast here at Stack Overflow. And today we're going to be talking about 3D on the web. Everybody, you know, talks about 3D in the games, but you can have it in a web page. My guest today wrote in to suggest this topic. Jaime Torrealba is a front engineer at Push Security. How you doing, Jaime?
Everything fine. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So at the top of the program, we like to get to know our guests, find out how they got into software and technology, and how you came to be interested in 3D on the web.
Ooh, well, I believe that was a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I always love games, and I always love design. So at some point, the 2D design in the web spectrum, like, you know, just the div and the UIs, I believe get just shorter. So I want to expand more, create more. And then I realized that it's not that difficult that you might think. It's actually quite, for the entry barrier, it's quite easy. It's because there are so many abstractions already done for you that you don't have to do it. You don't have to think about it. So yeah, and I have to mention also the 3D Journey course made by Bruno Simon, which is an amazing guy. That was my first introduction to the 3D on the web.
Oh, okay. And you also were a contributor to an open source 3D JavaScript project. Is that right?
Yeah. I was a contributor and open source maintainer in 3JS. Mm-hmm. Which is the default library for creating WebGL experiments with Vue.js. Mm-hmm. It's using 3JS under the hood. Mm-hmm. And it's in any case, it's the equivalent to Reactive Fiber, which is the most famous one, but for Vue.js.
So let's talk about what 3D on the web looks like. How does it work? I mean, obviously, you're using some JavaScript, but it's not just like, you know, fancy CSS manipulation, right? It's a little more than that.
Yeah. So I would like to start saying that we don't use basically non-CSS. We use JavaScript, and we also use GLSL, which is a scripted language, C-like. It's not JavaScript. With that, you can actually send instruction to the GPU directly. And it's quite interesting because it changed your mentality of working with the CPU. Now you are working with the multi-thread GPU stuff. So yes, one good thing is that we use WebGL, which is basically a wrapper of OpenGL. And OpenGL is you know, in every environment. It's working in C++, in working outside the web. So when you learn GLSL, you actually can do stuff out of the browser. So yes, 3JS use OpenGL under the hood. OpenGL, WebGL, it's quite challenging if you want to do it by yourself. You have to, you know, do a lot of stuff. But 3JS come with a lot of abstractions, so you don't have to think in, you know, creating the camera by default or creating the starting mesh or a cube or all the mathematical stuff. So starting with 3JS is actually quite doable. In fact, you in the website, you just basically copy and paste and you have the example.
Right.
And yes, we create a scene there. We basically started to play with it, basically. Mm-hmm. Now we got the transition from WebGL, which now I think has like 15 years in over there. And we are in transition to WebGPU, which is a new API using Vulkan. Vulkan is an API for working with the GPU. WebGPU promise much more, better performance and better compatibility with other systems. Like, for example, Unity can use WebGPU to embed games in the web. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and computer shaded, which is a little more complicated concept, but it's come from default. So yeah, that is the future now. It's going there.
That's awesome. That's a great overview. And you know, I think my initial when somebody says they can do 3D on the web is, you know, how much power, how much fealty can you get towards like the graphics, the 3D game graphics, right? Because there's a little bit of computing overhead that the browser takes.
Well, one of the things that you have to consider always in the web is the performance, right? You have to be carefully, because you can have this gamer PC and everything will run smoothly, 120 frames per second, but then you have to create experience for mobile. So you have to think in, okay, it has to actually run in a low performance device. So how we handle that can't be for frame per second, because a mobile will not handle the same frame per second as a game PC. I believe that is one of the main reasons why the games in the web, like games written with JavaScript, are not that realistic, that, let's say, that good.
Right. So does most of the sort of 3D processing happen on the client side, or is there some server side work first?
Yeah. It happened in the client side. It happened. It used the GPU basically. So yes.
I mean, we've talked to folks doing 3D and game engines, and they also talk about, you know, you don't know the sort of the specs you'll have on the client side, right? Like, somebody running Call of Duty may have a potato machine, right? They may only be able to run the smallest part. And how do you, besides having, you know, a very low poly game, are there ways to accommodate both the high performance and the low performance machines?
Yeah. Fortunately, the graphic industry has quite a long time. And there are many, many people, many papers on techniques how to optimize, written by, you know, amazing people doing this for many times. So yes, actually we can handle really good performance, but you have to, you know, read the stuff, how to do it, how to performance, how many triangles, because everything is triangles in the 3D world. Right. And how we can reduce the triangle or the textures or many things that we can do for optimize the experiences.
Do you have a favorite sort of optimization technique that when you learned about it, you were like, wow, this is kind of a mind-blowing way of thinking of it?
Indeed. The basic for me is optimize the model, which is optimize the texture. Again, texture is just a fancy word for saying an image. For example, a PNG, let's use in a reduce sizes in JP, for example, if you're going to need the transparency. Actually, the model try to reduce the topology, or using something that we call L of D, which is level of detail, which is a certain, it's kind of like the breakpoint in CSS. A certain view, certain distance of the camera, we show some model, like if you are really close, you have high model, and then if you are, that kind of stuff. That are my favorites, definitely.
Yeah, I think just seeing how much of this is math has been consistently eye-opening. So the JavaScript end of it, you said it's sort of shortcuts to rendering on the web. Like, how easy is it to spin up a scene, get textures, and what kind of download package does the client need to actually run a 3D game?
Well, there are probably more, but now that I can remember, there are three main players. The one that I use and I love is 3JS, but also there is Babylon.js and Play Canvas. They are like, I would say, the three main ones in the web's environment. Fortunately, all three basically come with all sorts of functions, abstractions that you basically use it. For example, I want to use a texture, and then you use the load texture function, right? Attaching to the model or whatever. So it's actually really easy. It's actually quite you know, doable.
Yeah. So it almost serves the function of like a game engine, like Unreal or Godot or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are there any 3D frameworks or anything that are looking at WebAssembly?
That is a very good question. I am not so sure now. What I can tell you is that some repos that are written in other languages can be used in WebAssembly. And one of the best examples is Rapier. Rapier, Rapier, I don't know the right pronunciation. But basically, it's a physics engine. And this is the original is written in Rust. And with WebAssembly, we can use it with JavaScript. And what it does is provide you all the complicated calculation of the physics. Basically, you have you define your sphere, right? And then you define a plane, a floor. And then what you do is, okay, engine, Rapier, I got these two rigid bodies, and then I want you to actually animate it to apply the physics. And then you can pass stuff like mass and how much the gravity strong it is and stuff like that. So it actually animate and create a simulation of the physics for you. And that is using WebAssembly.
Well, that's interesting. So it's adding in these extra, the sort of standard stuff for most 3D AAA games. You're adding it in through these WebAssembly. Yeah. So in working on the sort of JavaScript front end wrapper, what are the sort of things that you had to consider when sort of writing that sort of the engine code basically for JavaScript?
Let me start explaining a little about what I call abstraction layers. And as I mentioned, the first one of the core is WebGL / WebGPU now in the process. And then we got these libraries like Tree.js, these engines like Babylon, etc., which allow you to not starting from zero, basically. They come with the camera, with models, with how to import 3D models, whatever. And then there is another layer of abstraction, which is the one that I was maintaining. 3GS, Reactive Fiber, Trivelte for Svelte, Angular 3. And what they do is provide you a way to create this experience way more easier in a declarative way. So you can do all the power of this front framework, like let's call React for, because it's probably the most common one. And you can divide your scene in components. You can pass props or emit events or apply some reactivity, that kind of stuff. That power gives you this framework. So, yeah.
Can you give an example of that sort of like highest level of, what's the separation of concerns there? I assume the WebGL is just like writing the pixels on the screen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then 3JS is working with models in space. Is that right?
3JS provide you, the engine, the 3D world, the camera. Well, to be honest, 3JS has so many classes that is, it's too many for mention here. So the light, shadows, basically everything that you need.
The shortcuts to calculating the pixels, right?
Exactly. And it's really flexible. So if you want a scene, let's say with an orthographic camera, you can do it. If you want to, if you want to add post-processing, you can do it. If you want controls, like every controls to the book you're seeing, but for the booking stuff too, all that comes with 3ES. In fact, all these extra layers that I mentioned before, like 3ES, Reactive Fiber, they use all the classes, or basically all the classes of 3ES. So it's a easier way to write 3ES code, basically. Something very important to mention is that these frameworks, Reactive Fiber, 3ES, Trivelte, they also come with their own ecosystems, or many of the abstractions, like, To be more specific, I want water, right? I want to put water there. I just import a component already made that someone had done and put the water. That kind of stuff. Like I want, a sky, and you just drop the component and tweak the value that you want. Right. So again, it's really, it's really accessible, these things.
Yeah, so you can sort of just easily drop in, you know, pieces of a scene. The sort of TraceJS, is it just to sort of get a sense of it, is it like getting the 3JS stuff in a sort of idiomatic way for the frameworks?
Yeah, in a declarative way and in component stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So were you a Vue fan before you worked on this?
Or? Yeah. I'm a Vue lover, yeah.
What do you like about Vue?
When I started, I always loved the front end. I started coding in the university in 2008 with, you know, with basically PHP and no front end framework. JavaScript was a thing to tweak stuff, little stuff. But I love what you can do with CSS. After that, I started to work like more professionally, and I discovered Vue. Mm-hmm. Since then, I just fell in love. I don't know. I really enjoy how fast and how flexible is Vue. Then I have the opportunity to work with React for 2 years, and you know, to have the comparison and everything. And I don't think React is a bad thing. In fact, in the open source world, React has an amazing ecosystem.
Right.
But I just prefer the Vue style. I don't know if it's a bias for starting with Vue. Or use, maybe. You know, yeah, could be, but
you,
I actually
do. You never forget your first love, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just love you. I just like the way Vue works, and yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's easier? I mean, you might be biased for this, but do you think it's easier to implement the 3D graphics in Vue over other frameworks?
Do you want me to answer that? I would say yes.
Yeah, of course, right. But do you think there are particularities about Vue that make graphics easier?
I think they are always optional. Let's be honest here. They are just more comfortable to work. But if you take Reactifier, Trivelte, Angular 3, they are really similar. Really, really, really similar. So in that case, it's basically what you want. I don't think there is an advantage of using Reactifier over 3, except the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Just start with that, because the Reactifier ecosystem is bigger. Sure. But that is also because they were the first, they have, you know, more contributors, stuff like that. But except that, I don't think there is, you know, an advantage of using one or using the other one.
Mm, okay. So, you know, to take a, you know, a little peek into a crystal ball into the future, do you think there will ever come a time where the web browser is the primary delivery system for 3D games?
Ooh, I would love that, yeah. My I don't know if the prediction, but what I want to see is more of this special 3D engines like Unity out of the web, like Unity, Unreal, deliver more content to the web. I would love that. I know that there is some experiments transporting the Unreal engine to the web. It was a game. I try it. It looked good, but it takes ages to load because it was too heavy.
Right.
But I would like to see more of that in the web. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel in these things. I mean, I don't think we need to come with one big game engine, you know, written in JavaScript for the web. If there are really good stuff like Unreal Engine or Unity or Godot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it does seem like the barrier will be the load, that how big of a download you need to get there.
Do you think there
could be a sort of like server side of that, and just to the rendering on the I know Stadia tried to do the games as a service, but I don't think that took off as well.
I that is a very good point. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you have a favorite project, either of yours or somebody else you've seen that uses TraceJS?
Again, this is bias. I love my Creative Lab. Uh-huh. I got plenty of examples all done with JCS, and you know, it's just a lot of examples that I just do in my free time. They are not the better code, but definitely if you want to learn more what you can do with Tres, you can check it out that. And again, everything that you can do with Tres with 3.js, you can do with Tres ES. So yeah, they are amazing stuff done with 3.js. Amazing.
Okay.
I will just mention something, which is in the web, we are point in which we create 3D experience for e-commerce, right? For just a portfolio, for stuff like that. It's not just for games.
Sure.
That point, that environment, creativity, it's, you know, open the eye for many things. It's not the same if you just show a photo of your product, let's say a shoes, right? A Nike shoes, whatever. And now you can actually see in the space of 3D. So it's an open door for many things. And I would love to see more of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would. I think that'd be a very cool implementation. All right, everyone. Well, it's that time of the show where we shout out somebody who came on to Stack Overflow and dropped a little knowledge. Today, we're shouting out a Lifebout badge winner. User Zwall came on to Stack Overflow and dropped an answer that was so good, it got a score of 20. And he dropped on a question that had -3 or less at the time. The question was, how would you write the equivalent of this C++ loop in Rust? So if you're curious, check it out. It'll be in the show notes. I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog, host the podcast here at Stack Overflow. If you liked what you heard today, or if you have a topic you think you should cover, and maybe you should be the one to talk about it, email us at podcast@stackoverflow.com. If you like what you heard today, leave us a rating, a review, and if you want to connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn.
I am Jaime Torrealba. I am senior software engineer in Push Security, and you can contact me in X by Jaime BBoyAT. It's quite similar to Jamie in English. Jamie Torrealba in my GitHub.
All right. Thank you, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.